This podcast is brought to you by KVH Industries, which creates and delivers the innovations that enable our mobile world. A global leader in mobile connectivity, KVH's groundbreaking, award-winning solutions enable people on leisure boats, yachts, and commercial vessels to stay connected to business, family, and friends using innovative hybrid communications and content. Founded in 1982, the company is based in Middleton, Rhode Island, with research, development, and manufacturing operations in Middleton and sales, service, and engineering offices around the globe. So, Sophia, a small KVH quiz for you.
My favorite kind.
Customers with KVH antennas can enjoy cellular support in how many countries?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 150 plus.
Over 150, that is right. As far as 32 plus kilometers from the shore. The KVH Superyacht Group offers white glove concierge service.
If people aren't wearing white gloves, then I'm not interested in the concierge service. That's my rule in life. And I reckon that type of service is available 24/7.
24/7, every day of the year around the globe. KVH Elite, meanwhile, is KVH's premium VSAT service with dedicated bandwidth for HD quality streaming for yachts and charters.
What HD streaming would you be doing this week, Stuart?
Well, I've got to finish Succession.
It's relatively classy for you.
Yeah. and we've been watching something called The Night Agent, which we need to conclude as well. I've got a lot of TV to catch up on. It's been busy these last few weeks.
Well, you need KVH.
Need KVH. Check them out at kvh.com, at Facebook at KVH Yachting and Boating, on Instagram at KVH Yachting, and you can also see them at KVH Yachting and Boating on LinkedIn. On with the show.
And welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Caroline White, Deputy Editor of Boat International, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Cecile Gowart, our US Editor. Cecile, you have been travelling incredibly extensively in Turkey, looking at all the superyacht yards out there. Tell us what you have been up to.
Right. So after I saw you at the World Superyacht Awards, I decided to do a bit of a tour of the Turkish yards. Actually, it was my second trip to Turkey in a matter of 3 weeks, just by sheer chance. I visited Turquoise shipyard in Pendik in Kocaeli. Then I returned back to the States. And when we had the World Superyacht Awards, I took advantage of that to do a few extra shipyards there. And it was incredible. It had been 6 or 7 years since I had a chance to do this kind of stuff in Turkey. And it might as well have been 2 decades. So much has changed. It's incredible.
Wow. So tell us what you saw. Tell us what you saw.
Well, it appears that the yachting industry is booming there as well. Of course, the demand is very high, and the Turkish yards are quite busy. I think we could have spent another week and not have seen everything. But we did manage quite a few yards. On the Asian side of Istanbul, in the Tuzla area, where there's a big shipping industry as well, we visited Vision F, which is a builder of catamarans, with General Manager Ali Tanir. And one of the first things that I saw was a very pink 80-foot catamaran.
Pink. Why
yes,
pink?
Pink. The American client liked the idea. I think the name will be Cotton Candy.
Wow.
And she will be based in Ibiza, Spain. So I guess, and she's a big speaker. So I think just kind of a big party yacht thing.
Wow.
So we talked about Ali, about what the yard is doing. They're changing a lot of their models. They have really ambitious plans. They have, I think, a 101 catamaran on the books as well.
Incredible. So they've only been in business for 2 years, is that right? So
one
to watch?
Something like that, yeah. They've really only come up on the scene a couple of years ago. And so, yeah, definitely one to watch. I think they have big plans, like a lot of the yards in Turkey, actually.
Interesting. So what was the next step on your Turkish grand tour?
So we decided to go see SES, SES. This is actually a family-owned shipyard, which started very traditionally with cold-molded production that a lot of the Turkish builders did in years past. And they have built, for people who are listening and may wonder what they have done, well, they built truly classics with a hook design. For example, they are currently building a sister ship to Grace III, which our listener may have seen in the magazine. We featured her a little while ago.
Yeah, so she was a real beauty. That's the June 2022 issue, if you want to consult your Library of Boat International copies.
Thanks, Caroline. That's helpful. I didn't remember when we ran it. So we walked on one of the boats under construction there, the sailboat. The father, Sefer Yildirim, is a very well-known man for his woodwork in Turkey, apparently. And he's brought on many family members to the shipyard, so it's a family-run shipyard. But it was really great to see him so hands-on. He was walking all over, checking all the woodworks on the structures on top of the hall there. And we spent some time with his daughter, Elif, who he is a naval architect engineer. She didn't know what she was going to be, but I guess her dad did know. She did. She is a member of the family, very active member of the family there. It's really a nice shipyard, very nice feeling there. They're also building a lovely classic hook design, a Moriyat of 105 feet. There is a really interesting old hull right in the front of the yard. It's 110 years old. The client who is building that Moriyat initially wanted to use that hull as a basis for the design. But when they did the survey and then talked to the classification societies, it didn't make sense. So they're building a new hull. So, and then they're also building a 26-meter yacht. They will have three launches in 2024. Then we drove to Mazu in Yalova, which is a completely different setup. This is a very young and ambitious shipyard. I think you may know of the name for their day boats. They've built like 42 and 52 footers that are very popular and very liked. But they are currently building their biggest yacht to date, a 92-footer. And actually, they're building three of those. One will be ready in time for the fall show. And they're also building a 112-footer, which is 34 meters. It's a really nice, beautiful new facility with state-of-the-art firefighting equipment. The yacht manager is very proud of it. And so we went and looked at that on the outside. See the big pumps behind glass. He put it behind glass so you can see it.
Wow.
It's really super. And they're also planning to use this really magnificent facility for refits.
Interesting. So Mazu making a significant jump in size and looking hard at refit.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And did you spot any particular yachts in that position?
So yeah, actually, we went out for lunch and at a marina, we spotted a very, very famous boat, which you would probably recognize. It was a Lursen, formerly known as the One.
Yeah, it's a legend. Yeah.
Yeah. So the One had suffered a very massive fire and we weren't quite sure what was happening, but she was refitted by a company called Ocean Technical. And we saw her almost finished. It looked like they were loading provisions probably for a crossing. Her new name is V2V. And she does look quite different from the original. She's got a new beach club, which did not exist. She had a hull extension, I think. And she now has a much larger superstructure.
Wow, almost a different boat, sounds like.
Yep, definitely. Still recognizable, but quite different.
Okay, so where next? Are there any more yards left in Turkey?
I'm afraid, yeah, you're probably afraid of my question. Yes, many more. when we got back to Tuzla, we went to Dunya. That's a yard that has been in business for a few years, as you may remember. And there we saw a project by Greg Marshall Design, a designer out of Victoria, British Columbia. And that one was inspired by their Big Fish that they had built a few years ago.
Ah, of course. That was a very cool Explorer-style yacht that was built in New Zealand, I believe.
Yeah, that's it. So this boat is a little bit, is a few months still from delivery because there was a change in the layout. But she's looking like a very interesting boat. And I certainly hope that they'll be able to show it when she's finished. And another really spectacular project at Dunya that we walked around with called Galbraith of Greg Marshall Design, is a 48-meter support catamaran. And it was built as a mothership for a yacht that just sold. And I'm not quite sure what will happen to it. I think it might be on the market shortly. So we walked through it, and it's just massive. It looks like a cathedral in there. It's enormous.
Wow. Okay. So you have seen a lot of yards on this trip. Was there anything that really surprised you?
Oh, several things. But I think I will say something about Meunier. Just a few years ago, this yard was known for their exquisite wood composite construction. They actually built wooden boats until 2005. And I guess I did not really know how big they had become, and that really surprised me. They already have 210 boats afloat, but what they're building today is quite different to what they were building before. Mm-hmm. You may remember that they had a 47-meter launch last year from their Virtus line.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was entered for the awards, where it was a finalist, and the boat looked really good. So they have at least 5 deliveries planned for this year, from 23 to 47 meters. And they're building a very large yacht at 52 meters that's supposed to be ice class B. They're also building a Nouveau Larry Leonard branded yacht, which was just announced. And that yard employs like 500 people, half of them directly.
Wow.
So this yard, I don't know. I guess I wasn't paying attention, but to me, it just like came out of nowhere. I just kind of kept hearing the name, but I had no idea how busy they are.
No, how interesting. And did you come across any yards that we may not have heard of?
Yes. Well, it's the thing about Turkey. I feel for our data guru, because, you know, aside from the known yards, you could be anywhere in Tuzla, for example, in that big industrial area. And there could be any number of shipyards there that just have a shed up and are building a motor yacht, unbeknownst to anyone, except for the people working on the boats. So while we were driving through there, we spotted a company called B Yachts. They had a beautiful, you know, hanger with the name B Yachts on it. And
as in a buzzy, stripy B. Okay.
So it turns out they have a yacht under construction, a 35-meter by Hydrotech. And apparently they're looking to do more potentially. So
interesting.
Let's see if Biyats come across as a contender very soon.
Yeah.
And then there's another yard you may have heard about, because they had a very lovely boat launch a few years ago, but they haven't done much since. That's called Magnolia as a flower.
Hmm.
And they're building a 40-meter, again with Gregory C. Marshall Design. That's how I found out about it, actually, for unrestricted navigation. It's being built on spec, so they're moving slowly but surely.
And then what was the biggest finished yacht that you saw in Turkey?
Oh, that was back in Istanbul, at the West Istanbul Marina. That's where Bilgin is located. And I had a chance to visit the 80-meter Leona, which was just delivered and entered the World Superyacht Award this year.
Fantastic. I think we're trying to get a feature on that boat in the magazine very soon.
Yeah, she's stunning for hull color, number one. She's red. She's got this beautiful logo on the back, which the shipyard had made, which is the face of a lioness, I should say, hence the name.
Amazing.
Yeah, and she's got this huge pool, huge beach club. For those who remember Tatiana, she's got sort of a similar layout, actually very similar layout, with this extensive beach club. And the decor is quite eye-popping. It's amazing. And the shipyard did all that in-house, so it's pretty incredible. But the biggest yacht I did see in Turkey under construction was at Turquoise, where they're building an 87-meter with H2 yacht design. So that was just Istanbul, Tuzla, Yalova area. I hate to tell you, but I also spent a day in Antalya, where we saw 6 shipyards and a number of really interesting boats. Suffice to say, this country is booming in the yachting industry, and it was amazing. It was absolutely an eye-popping experience for me. I was super impressed. There are some challenges, as everywhere else, with finding the labor and keeping young people interested enough to stay with you, but for a bit longer than a short experience and go to the next higher paying job. They all told us about that, but that's happening worldwide. Yeah. But yeah, super interesting.
Well, you're now officially our in-house Turkish yachting expert. Cecile, I hope you know that.
I believe I've earned it.
You definitely have. So moving on to news, but staying in Turkey. Firstly, we have a Turkish exclusive. Ak Yacht has signed a contract to build a 100 meter plus super yacht. The project is not only the biggest undertaken by the shipyard to date, but it's set to be the largest super yacht ever built on Turkish soil. Delivery is scheduled for 2027, at which point the unnamed project will unseat the country's largest super yacht build, the 88-metre sailing yacht Maltese Falcon.
I think you probably have heard enough from me at this point, but as the Turkish residential expert, I have to tell you that, yes, that's a major project, but we heard on our trips of other projects of this size and in between. The Turkish shipyards are building much bigger yachts these days, so stay tuned.
Well, on that note, we thought we would just run through what the Turkish yachts are that are sneaking up behind these two in terms of size. So if we're talking about the largest deliveries coming in 2023, we have the 75-metre turquoise Infinite Jess, which has just launched. Cecile saw her, I believe, so perhaps you could tell us one or two things about her.
It's just a beautiful yacht. It's a Vallicelli design, design on the exterior. Very elegant. We were not allowed to go on because the yacht was in final stages of commissioning. And as you know, pesky journalists and brokers are not necessarily welcome when the yacht is being finished. But yeah, she was launched and getting ready for delivery and looking quite stunning.
Okay. And then another one we have coming, 58-metre Darman Sea Explorer Pink Shadow, which I understand Cecile was also on board, and that's an impressive project. She's already launched and they're doing modifications before her delivery this summer. Perhaps again, Cecile, you could tell us a little bit more.
Yes, we had a very good fortune to be able to go on. She's got a really interesting layout, a beautiful interior, very funky and engaging. Boy, I could definitely, I could definitely spend my life on this. It's beautiful. It's got a really interesting aft deck, which has been finished for big parties, but also can get a tender, so it's multi-use. The interior is beautiful. I don't know if we can say much about her until she's delivered, but yes, I really loved her. And while she's called Pink Shadow, she's green.
Interesting. Okay.
I guess she's just a shadow of pink.
We also have the 53-metre Darman YS-53, better known as Bad Company Support. We'll come to that shortly, so I'm just going to put a pin in that because she's one of our news stories. Then we have the 53-metre Alia Sea Club. Started as a support vessel, she's now a real explorer yacht, and she is going to be delivered before the end of the year. I know, Cecile, that you have caught whispers of other things in the works. I don't know how much you are able to say about what might be coming that's not quite at this sort of stage, that's still actually in the sheds.
Yes, we heard a lot of things. And some of the ones that we probably can discuss, I think I've already mentioned the 87-meter Vento project at Turquoise. Also coming up is another 80-meter from Bilgin. This one will be called Alrim. Then also at Turquoise, there will be the 79-meter Toro and the 68-meter Ice at AES and many others. We saw so many projects and some of them confidential. So there's a lot coming on.
Okay. Well, diving a bit further into the yacht that we just mentioned, Bad Company Support, Darman Yachting has launched that first unit in its new support vessel YS-53 series for the legendary sports fisherman Anthony Hesse. The yacht was rolled out of the shed in Antalya as part of an exclusive ceremony attended by the owner and Cecile.
Well, yeah, actually, I just happened to be there on that day. It was absolutely a coincidence, but it was a wonderful coincidence because who doesn't love to see that happen? And I don't see that many yacht launches, and it was really cool to be there. Yes, the owner was there. He came from the Cape Verde Islands, where he's been fishing extensively, and if you're not following him on Instagram, you should. It's amazing the content he puts out there with his team. Anyway, he took a break from fishing, came over, smashed a bottle of bubbly on the hull, and there she went. The whole process was very well orchestrated. It took actually a couple of hours, but it was really great to see an awesome looking vessel.
So I understand that he's going to add her to a kind of a fleet of other vessels that he's already got. Are they all sports fishers, or what are they?
He's got a number of sport fishing boats. Among them, one that is very familiar to me because it's in our neighborhood, is 144 foot Trinity yacht, which is also called Bad Company. He's got a couple of smaller fishing vessels that he keeps near his home on the west coast of the United States. I believe he's got a total of 11 yachts. Definitely this one will be the biggest. He was actually initially thinking about keeping two of those sport vessels in two different parts of the world, but he kind of decided the practicality of traveling between the two would just be not feasible. You can fly everywhere, but the time schedule and time changes are really hard on people. Right. I can vouch for that. moving around the world and losing 6, 7, 8 hours and then trying to recover is not that easy.
Okay. Well, I understand that this vessel will replace the owner's current 46-meter former Darman yachting model of the same name, which I believe was Stuart's brokerage pick of the week a week or two back. Features of the 499 gross ton new yacht include an impressive 15 ton deck crane with full IMO Tier 3 compliance, which aims to reduce emissions by 70%. Top speeds will be 19 knots, and Bag Company support will have accommodation for between 6 and 16 guests and staff, plus 10 crew and a captain. Design and naval architecture has been completed entirely in-house by Darman Yachting. Now, you might be relieved to know that we're going to leave Turkey there for the moment. It has been booming, but other things have happened in the rest of the world too. So FedShip in the Netherlands has announced a new speculative project, the 70-meter Secura. Yes, that is a 70-meter superyacht that they're building on speculation. Now that is confidence. The project is named after the Japanese cherry blossom and blends the East and West in a marriage of what the yard describes as Scandinavian warmth and Japanese minimalism. What a marriage. Guests boarding from the swim platform can either ascend the stadium-style staircase to enter from the main deck, complete with 7-meter swimming pool, or with the touch of a button, the steps open to reveal a dedicated wellness area at the heart of the vessel, with dual accessibility through the beach club and main staircase. Secura's interior, designed by Italian studio FM Architectura di Interni, embraces the Japandi style with its use of modern furnishings decorated by light earthy tones. In a series of renders released by the yard, an unconventional layout sees both the formal dining and lounge areas sitting longitudinally along the main deck saloon, raising the capacity for onboard social gatherings. A dedicated owner's deck houses the master suite with wraparound floor-to-ceiling windows supplying panoramic views. Up top, it does sound delightful, up top the sun deck boasts a second pool with large sun pads forward, as well as a spacious aft deck for dining and relaxation. FedShip rarely enters construction without a buyer already in place, but it's offering Secura to a prospective owner who wishes to significantly reduce the lead time of a new yacht. She is expected for delivery in the summer of 2025.
That's quite soon, actually.
It is quite soon.
And finally, some sad news. We heard that the yacht owner and philanthropist Alexander Dreyfus has died, age 91, at his home in West Palm Beach. According to a statement in local media, Dreyfus passed peacefully in his sleep in the early hours of Sunday, May the 28th. Dreyfus was the owner of the 40.5-meter Abiking and Rasmussen small water plane area twin hull, SWAF, Silver Cloud, which is now known as Nurja. Alexander Dreyfus chose this platform because his wife was very seasick, and of course he wanted to be able to share this experience with her. So he did a lot of research and settled on this very seldom seen platform in the yacht world, actually. I think she's the only example of a SWAF in the yacht world. This remarkable yacht collected a lot of accolades and picked up two of the World Superyacht Awards in the year after delivery. and remains one of the most distinctive super yachts in the Abbey King and Rasmussen fleet. Mr. Dreyfus was a key inventor and very creative, and he held 10 US and many foreign patents for his invention. And he was well known for his problem-solving approach to business. He had successful ventures in photography, videography, and later private capital management. He was well regarded for his photography, and in 2015 he released a collection of his work titled A Photographic Odyssey Around the World with Alexander W. Dreyfus, with proceeds going toward a local cultural council. His later biography also saw proceeds go to charitable causes. Dreyfus was a founding member of the Marine Conservation Organization International Seakeeper Society. His largest philanthropic gesture was a $15 million donation to MIT, which consists of two buildings named for Dreyfus and Bill Gates. His legacy also includes a performance hall at the Palm Beach based Gravis Center for the Performing Arts and a high school named in his honor.
Thank you, Cecile. Our condolences to his family. On a lighter note, it's time for our brokerage pick of the week, which is, I think, my favorite segment in our regular podcast. I'm going with the 50.6 meter modern classic sailing yacht Borkum Riff 4, which has received a price drop of 1 million euros with Camper & Nicholson's. She has a profile of a classic schooner and is a product of a collaboration between Royal Houseman, John G. Alden, and Dykstra Naval Architects. Delivered in 2002, she pays tribute to traditional Newfoundland schooners and has had the same owners since she was new. She's got an interior by John Munford, which is a classic design in fine-grained mahogany and teak. And she accommodates six guests in three cabins, comprising a full beam master with a separate study and two twin cabins amidships, all with ensuite bathrooms. She is now asking 11.9 million euros VAT paid, and she's lying in Palma de Mallorca. And who doesn't like Palma? So just go and see the yacht. Just have a nice time in Palma, have some tapas.
All right. Yes, it's a very nice one, I have to admit. Well, I picked one that is a bit close to home, of course. The 30.5 meter custom motor yacht, A Place in the Sun, is my pick of the brokerage out of the week. It's set to be auctioned on June 22nd by Northrop & Johnson brokers Joe Foggia and Steve Ilario in cooperation with Boathouse Auctions. Built and designed by American shipyard Borough Marine, right near where our office is in Fort Lauderdale, shipyard is in Dania, the raised pallet house design was launched in 1992. She underwent an extensive two-year refit in 2021 that cost upwards of $4 million. According to the brokers, each and every surface of the yacht was improved, leaving her in pristine conditions. She was asking $1.695 million with Northrop & Johnson, but will sell at auction to the highest bidder with no reserve set. I think that sounds like an amazing deal.
Well, I think we've got two absolute bargains there, Cecile.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to this week's Boat Briefing, which was mixed and produced by Adam Geist and Naomi Wilson and is a production of Boat International Media. Thank you also to our sponsor, KVH. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.